Let's pray. Eternal God, we come before you right now, and we are grateful. We've been saying this all weekend long. We are grateful that the High King of Heaven came for us. We're grateful that we have relationship with you. We are grateful for your church. We're grateful for technology that allows us to connect in moments like this. But we are also confessing a sadness and a frustration at what is happening around us, God. We just confess to you that this is not the way. God, we know that there is disease. We know there is death, and we mourn that, God. But we also mourn this fear that is wrapping itself around our world. God, this is not your way. I pray now that you would lead us, that you would show us the way forward. You would show us the next step. But I pray right here in this moment that all of us in all of these different locations around St. Louis and the country and maybe even the world, God, that you would connect us to you. Father, we need you. But in a miraculous, hard to explain way, would you connect us to one another? Would you remind us that we are called to do this together? I ask all of this now in the mighty, the glorious, the powerful, healing, victorious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thanks, guys. Let me just start off with the obvious. We said it up front. Let me just say it again. It was just a week ago that I was asking pastors in the front row of our church here to pray for specific churches in China with what was happening there in Nashville on the back end of that tornado, our church, the country. And we did this, and we will continue to pray. We knew what was happening around our world. But in this past week, things really built quickly, didn't they? Stuff started to happen. There were closings of schools and large events and businesses and restricted travel, and Disney World closed and sports seasons ended, and people canceled the rest of spring semesters in all sorts of universities. Many, many things were going on. The 3 weeks of basketball drama known as March Madness was canceled. And I know at this point some of you are going, why are you even mentioning that? Well, I just think it's weird that there's no March Madness, except I was thinking about this. We do have madness this March. And it's taken a bunch of different forms, but how about this? Is it not interesting to see this groupthink fear that is taking over our world in certain places? And it's actually leading to not just irrational thoughts and behaviors, but to unkind acts and behaviors. But there is some, there are weird things happening. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I don't understand the toilet paper part of this. Thing that's going on. I really don't. Whatever store you helped clean the shelves of Costco, Walmart, wherever you went, I don't get it. Now, I keep telling you this so that you understand. I'm not a doctor. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so of course I'm not one of those experts. But as best I can tell, this is a respiratory illness, right? So there's that kind of madness that's going on, but there's another kind of madness. We're just mad, and people are mad at folks for how they're reacting or underreacting. People are mad because they seem to have lost any control over their world. I would like for you right now, and we're going to do this a couple of three times, like we normally do. If you're joining us, and you don't normally worship with us, this is one of the things we do when we gather together, is we interact with each other at our various campuses, and I'd like for us to continue to do that even now. Hey, let me take just a side note here. You know that one of the things that we've been thinking about this week, even before this happened, was how we can help churches that aren't used to or maybe don't even have the technology to do what we're doing right now. I want you to know you'd be so proud of your staff. They are reaching out to churches here locally. How can we help you? Maybe you're joining us from one of those churches. We want to help you in real specific ways by allowing you to use some of this throughout the week and maybe record something for your church. We've had folks say, hey, can you help us to know how to do this? Let's lock arms and do this together. But right now, all of us, I'd love for you, if you would, to just let us know how mad you are. Okay, so here's the deal. It's one is like everything's cool, and five is you're radioactive. You actually need more than a 6-foot radius around you, okay? So just rate yourself on that. Where are you? How mad are you? Some of you are saying, well, I'm not that mad. I really am more frightened. Okay, for some of us, it really is everything that's going on for a variety of reasons. It's triggered some fear in you. Well, I'd love for you, while you're talking about madness, to also tell us about how frightened you are. Same scale, 1 to 5. 1 is everything's cool. 5 is I'm really worried, Greg. I'm waking up in the middle of the night. I am obsessing about, and then you fill in the blanks for whatever. But where are you on this? I want to say to those of you who are fearful right now, we've been saying all along that you should listen to the experts on this. I want to encourage you again, listen to the experts on this. And if you do listen to them, one of the things that you will hear is that the overwhelming majority of people who contract this virus recover. They're okay. If you're in a risk group, then yes, take extra precautions. If you're sick or running a fever, then don't be around people. And for all of us by now, we've learned we wash our hands. Okay, so do everything the experts are telling you. Be wise, be smart about how this works. But then I would say once you've done that, it might be time for some of us to take, I've been using the word a media fast. More accurately, you might need to go on a media diet. You see, I'm not sure that checking the news every 10 minutes is the healthy way for you to manage things, because the world isn't going to change that much in 10 minutes. I'm not sure that some of our news feeds are helping us. I'm not sure, this is just me talking, that you need to like listen to 10 different podcasts this week telling you 10 different ways that the world is going to end a week from Tuesday. I'm not telling you to live in denial. We said in the broadcast that went out on Friday that the Christians, of all people, should face the news, even bad news. We're going to live wisely, and we want to help in the prevention of the spread of a disease. But we also want to help in the prevention of the spread of a panic that will take things over. 2 Timothy says that we live in a spirit of fear. Now, I've heard that verse many times this week. What I don't want us to do is to use that and whack each other over the head with it. Let me just say this much. We have fear. Each of us has fears. It's one of the reasons the Bible says again and again, fear not, fear not, fear not. I think what makes the difference is when we begin to experience fear, what we do with that fear. Psalm 112 is a really interesting psalm to me that describes the character of one who looks to God. I'm just going to give you two verses. Verse 6, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, but now here's the kicker, trusting in the Lord. I believe the key to all of that is that last phrase, trusting in the Lord. We must consciously turn to the God of all things. This is intentional. We turn our minds and our hearts and our focus towards Him. Now, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, if you were with us, that we went all nerdy with how the brain works, and I told you that the research shows that even you saying out loud, like putting words to your emotions, specifically identifying them, activates the thinking part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, and it reduces activity in the more emotional limbic system part of your brain. Now, this isn't a Jedi mind trick. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now take all of that and turn towards the one who made you. So that means you actually express what it is that you're going through, even if it's messy, even if it's embarrassing. God, this is what I'm worried about. This is what I'm angry about. And it forms these messy, authentic prayers, and you come to the God of all things and you wrap around His strength. I'm not any more thrilled with this situation than you are. I want to just say this out loud. I miss us gathering together. I don't like having to do this to a mostly empty room with 5 or 10 pastors in here helping us. But my emotions, my fear, my hope will not be based on the media. It will not be hooked to the next headline I hear about. I am trusting in the God of all things, and I promise you He is in the middle of this working. He is. I am not frightened because I am with Him. I'm going to follow Him into the chaos, and I'm asking you, for those of us who do that, it's not just that our faith grows stronger. It's that He's going to call us now to actions and attitudes that are fundamentally different from everything else you'll see in the world, and that is a good thing. It's why when one of our young leaders said to me this week, when it all kind of started to happen, he said, so what are you going to talk about this weekend? And I said, exactly what God led us to all along. We're going to finish this hospitality series. You see, our sovereign God is so good and so out ahead of us that he knew I would be standing right here talking to you right now, wherever it is that you're sitting. He knew this, and I believe he led us to this place for a reason. This is a part of how we will proclaim his great name. In fact, I'll say this much to you. I believe that people are going to come to Christ through this because of the way his people react. Now, I think it all pivots off of Jesus. Shocker, I know. We're coming back to Jesus again. But he is our best picture of hospitality. In fact, Romans 15, a verse that we've already read in this series, says this, verse 7, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That's the standard here. We are to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. So let me ask again, how did he welcome you? With open arms. With an outrageous, outlandish grace that none of us deserve. That's why grace is one of our favorite words. Okay, speaking of that, we all know that we're supposed to be washing our hands for 20 seconds, and one of the things that we're saying is, you can sing happy birthday to yourself times two, and that gets you through 20 seconds, right? Okay, I wanna say that there's a different way. Dale, just put me on the clock, hit go. So, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That was 20 seconds. Thank you. Here's the thing. First of all, some of you are saying, I don't sing Amazing Grace that fast. When I sing Amazing Grace, it's more like, amazing grace, how sweet. Good for you. That means your hands are extra clean. Good for the world. Do it that way. Some of you are saying, well, I think you're making fun of Amazing Grace. I am not at all saying that. I'm saying I'm done singing happy birthday to myself, and I want my heart and my head to be filled with truth that's going to get me through. And so that might be it. I will tell you what, there are other ideas out there. We've been getting them all weekend long, and we're going to kind of keep building this maybe throughout the week on our social media platforms. Would you right now let us know what's something better than happy birthday to me that I can sing or say? We had somebody who, from our friends from HTB, who said in London, said, I say the Lord's Prayer. It's a perfect example. Maybe there's another worship song. Maybe there's a scripture. But you guys give us that. My point is this. If grace is the standard, if Jesus is the standard, and we're going to cue off of him, now go to John chapter 1, verse 18. In John 1:18, you see a really interesting verse here that says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus is the one who has shown us what and who God is like, what his love is like. Jesus has revealed God to us. So, later in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. So now it's our turn to show and to reveal and to proclaim the love of God in very real, practical ways. And I think that brings us back to hospitality. In some ways, specifically to that. So let me give you some guidelines. Here we go. Some of these are in review. It's not an option. All throughout the scriptures, you see that we are told to practice hospitality, and we're learning, and we have learned, that this is way more than we first imagined. If you've been around the Bible for very long, the New Testament, you hear about these gifts that people have once they start following Jesus, and some will say, well, I don't have the gift of hospitality. It's one of the gifts that's mentioned. I want you to understand that we are all really supposed to practice this. Yes, there are going to be some who are better at it, but we can't just let them carry the load. In fact, there's a book that's coming out. It says it like this in the fall. How strange and inept the Christian life would be if we stood around and waited for specialists to do every single thing for us. Let's not wait for some specialist to do this. God has called us all into this. The second thing I would say is it must be deliberate. In Romans 12, when Paul says practice hospitality, the Greek word there has some oomph to it, which means you're going to have to lean into this. You're going to have to make this intentional. Next thing is, it's more than you think it is. We spent the whole weekend talking about that last weekend. Hey, Hebrews 13 tells us that we are to love one another, so we start there. We could actually spend our lifetime there, because this idea of loving one another, you have people in your life that are difficult to... Anybody here have a sandpaper person? Like somebody who just rubs you the wrong way at work, at school, in the neighborhood? maybe they're sitting on the other end of the couch, don't look at them now, but a sandpaper person, we should love one another. But then he continues that by saying, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Now the verb there is philoxenia, which is the exact opposite of xenophobia. You and I are supposed to do this in a way that the rest of the world might not. When a friend of mine tells me that she was at a local store this week and walks up to the register, and the person behind the register thanks her for coming to her register. And my friend's like, well, I don't understand. And she said, because this week people have, it's not just that they have avoided her, they've actually said, don't get close to me. I'm not coming to your register. And this is a direct quote, because you're Asian. Gang, not on our watch. We will not be those people. We cannot let this give rise to that kind of ugliness. It is not God's way. The next thing, it creates a space for something new to emerge. I want you to think of it this way. We're not going to agree with everybody. We're not going to be alike everyone else in our world, but we can be near people and we can allow something to happen between us. It's like clearing a piece of ground and you allow God to do something and for something new to emerge. It might be an attitude. It might be kindness. It might be patience. It might be a full-blown relationship for all I know. What if God in the coming days and weeks did an end run on some of the conversations that have stalled out in our country? You know the ones I'm talking about regarding all sorts of things that people feel very strongly about. And as soon as we start talking, we polarize on them. What if God, in this moment, his people took the lead and by his grace, we moved in and we started to see things happen? I'm not saying we changed how we vote. I'm not saying we changed each other's opinions. I'm saying we started changing how we treated each other. What if that happened and it was the people of God who took the lead on this? I think that's where we are. Now, I'm really talking to you about making room for some supernaturally good stuff to happen. But what is it that would keep you from, what would keep you from making room for something extraordinary happening? What would keep you from making room for new relationships or new attitudes to just kind of form in these unsettling times? I want you to turn to each other and talk to each other real quickly about that and just kind of hang out. What would keep you from doing that? We're going to give you a break. We'll come back in just a second. Okay, before we get to that, I just want you to know we are getting some great ideas, kind of, for songs that maybe you can sing while you're washing your hands. You parents of little ones, Baby Shark, we could do that. Stairway to Heaven, wow, are your hands going to be clean? That you're going to be thoroughly scrubbed in at that point. Dancing Queen, okay, I know who did that. The Jeopardy theme, Sweet Caroline. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we could be doing, but let's go to something a little more serious here. Give me the first results here, and I think we're going to start with fear. On a scale of 1 to 5, where are you on this? And each one of our services has been different, so it looks like what we're saying here is there's more fear than not fear, so we have maybe at this point the highest number by far, actually, 3, 4, 5, those are the highest percentage numbers that we've had yet in any of our services. So there are people who are dealing with a kind of fear, whether it's the virus or whether it's everything that's happening around it. How about the anger? Okay, so we're looking here and some people over half, not too angry at all. You guys are kind of chilling. We have a third of people who are at least moderately to significantly angry. Okay, here's the point. When we do this, we want to get to a place where we can just admit this out loud. I want you to think of this as a continuum. This isn't you landing in a bucket and then you have to move to the next bucket. I want you to think of this as a continuum that you will move back and forth on. And your best shot at moving away from fear or moving away from the anger is to start off by just admitting it. And it might mean asking yourself some questions. Am I afraid? Why am I afraid? Am I angry? Why am I angry? I'm angry at the media. Take it a layer deeper. What am I really angry about? And you kind of take it down even two or three layers. And then you begin to confess to God, how do you want me to deal with this anger? It could be that you're looking at someone who's very different from you and you're in a conversation now and you begin to ask yourself, am I even okay with something happening between the two of us, like developing something? Am I okay if this costs me something in this interaction? You see, one of the things that we'll need to remember is when it comes to hospitality is it isn't about me. Philippians 2, one of the glorious passages in Scripture that tells us about how much Jesus loves us. In verse 5, it says that in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then from verse 6 on, you just hear this glorious, the one who is in very nature God, then begins to take on the form of a servant, and he humbles himself even to the death on a cross. And so it's just this wonderful passage that reminds us that if we're going to follow Jesus, it will involve an act of servanthood, an attitude of servanthood, which is what makes it powerful. But it also means there's sacrifice involved, which is why it's hard, and it might be why Peter says when you practice hospitality, do it without grumbling. You see, one of the telltale signs that you're going to take a step backwards towards fear, towards hostility, towards anger, is when you hear yourself grumbling. Just pay attention to that. Bring that to God. Now, Lauren Sanney, who was a former president of Navigators, was asked once, how do you know if you're living life as a servant? And his answer was just memorable. He said, you'll know by how you act when you're treated like one. You want to know a specific way that you and I can be servants in this world? It's about listening. If you want to bring shalom to this world today, tomorrow, this week, 3 weeks from now, I would say, this is going to sound very preacher-like, but listen hard when it's hard to listen. Listen hard when it's hard to listen. There are people in your life right now, I promise you, they are not very far from you. They might be sitting right there with you. They're at work, they're on your team, they're at your school. You're going to be in contact with them, and they feel like they've lost something the last couple of weeks. Some people have lost just the feeling that I have any control over anything in my life. We lost a great vacation. I lost a lot of money in the market. I lost a job opportunity. I lost my job. I lost my senior year. I'm an athlete and I've been training for this window of time where everything would peak and it all went away. I lost it all. I lost connection and community with people that I used to stay in touch with. Some of us are feeling just the loss of patience and a whole bunch of other things. But when somebody says, listen, I'm losing someone right now to a disease and nobody's noticing because it's not the one that's making the headlines. When somebody makes a joke about this being the big C, my family is losing someone to the big C. We are facing down cancer. And it's like nobody even cares or notices. When you start to listen, when it's hard to listen, there will be a temptation at some point for you to interrupt that person just so you can have some relief, right? I mean, they're starting to pour their hearts out and you're going to kind of jump in and go, oh, that is so bad. But hey, you know, spring's coming. How about those daffodils? Don't. Take a moment and keep listening. In fact, there may then come a moment where they're not even talking. And even then, don't jump in. Sometimes the healing begins in that active silence. I will tell you this for sure. In that listening and in that silence, you have a better chance of actually forming the right words. You see, it will eventually be time to speak. This is something that we talk about, we've been talking about in the PCV era, the pre-coronavirus era. We were talking about how, oh, I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. I'm afraid I might say it the wrong way. Specifically when you're talking about things like politics or race or religion or now how you're reacting to the coronavirus. Let me give you one thought on this. And in our fast response world, we're not very good at this anymore. Think before you speak. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says it this way. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. I say taking the extra beat, it helps. Still, there will be time for words. If you really want to think about it this way, true words are good. True words leavened with humility are better. True words leavened with humility and sprinkled with grace are the best of all. And if you begin to do this, watch what God does in between you and that person. And you may not agree on everything, but something begins to come to life between the two of you. It might start off sounding like small talk, but please don't call it small talk, because now you're sharing just the struggles of the day with someone, and you're showing your humanity to each other. And it leads to the next thing, which is this. In these spaces, look for a familiar mark. Strange, weird. What does that mean? John Calvin says that when someone comes to you in need, it's okay to say, you know what, he is a stranger, but the Lord has given him a mark that ought to be familiar to you. You know what that familiar mark is? The image of God. Whoever it is that you're looking at this week, they bear the image of the Most High God. Start there. Maybe kindness, maybe gentleness, maybe patience starts to rise up. You don't think the world needs more of that? Now, I've just given you a whole bunch of things, and you're like, Greg, I don't even, okay, but where do I start? How about if we do this the way we did it 2 weeks ago? Really simple, really basic. Remember me telling you that story when I was on that flight, and this kid was, remember when we used to fly? Yeah, no, we'll fly again. I promise you we will. But this kid, he welcomed Robin and I aboard. He welcomed us. Let's start with that, only I'm going to use a different word, and it is the word greeting. And you don't think that means much. In the Greek, it's very cool. It is the word aspatomai, okay? And it's translated, it's all over the New Testament. But let's talk for just a second about greetings, because our greetings have changed. Like here's a greeting. Like come on up. And so we used to greet each other like, hey, like we can't do that anymore, right? So So we do that. But now you're gonna have to put hand sanitizer on that. There's this. You could do that. I don't understand the air high five. That just feels weird to me. I don't know that one. There's the Wuhan thing that people are doing. Do you know? You could do the old, I could fake you out, the sixth grade thing, but there's this. Yeah, and we can do that. And if we're doing it to music, we can do a TikTok dance video. No, don't do that. There's lots of things that you can do. No, not that. Wakanda Forever. There's so many different things that you can do. But we are having to be creative with our greetings. You don't even know what I'm going to do next. I'm so sorry. But thank you for that. So there are these greetings, and you know what greetings are like. Now, some greetings are just flat out cool. I don't own a Harley. I'm not cool enough to ride a Harley. But you know how Harleys go when they're driving past each other. And like, have you ever seen that before? You know, they take their hand, their non-throttle hand, they take it off, and they don't go, they don't, hi. They don't do that. They don't even make eye contact with each other. They're just riding along, and they drop their hand down, and they just, like that. That's just cool. Okay, so I don't know that I have a cool greeting for you, but I think we can be creative in how we do this. And I think it's important. In the 16th chapter of Romans, Paul says the word greeting or greetings like over 20 times. Greetings to Aquila and Priscilla. Greetings to the house church that meets in their house. Greetings to Andronicus and Junia. Greeting to Rufus. There's a whole story there. Greetings to Olympus. And greet each other with a holy kiss. Okay, now we're not going to do that for lots of reasons. But the point here is greeting is a big deal. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? It's not this, greetings and salutations. It's not something formal. It's not a throwaway. It means in an open-armed, open-hearted sort of a way, you're welcoming someone into your life. You're actually drawing them into your life. Now, we just admitted we're going to have to be creative about that. But you don't think the world needs that? You don't think the world is in these coming days and weeks isn't going to start craving that? How do we do it? Some of you have people right now that are coming to mind. They're in your contact list. They're in your, they're just lodged in the database that is your memory. And you know that they need someone to reach out and remind them that they're not alone. It might be an elderly person. It might be somebody that's in a risk category. It might be somebody who is self-quarantined. It might be somebody who's in a retirement facility and they're afraid to leave where they are. It might be somebody two states over. It might be a 20-something right now that you know is watching this, but they're not with you. And they're wondering if anyone even remembers that they're going through this. There's so many ways that we can reach out and remind someone. You allow God to lead you. How do we do this? For your neighbors, like I'm talking about your next door neighbors. Okay, so you probably don't go up to their door and knock on their door because that'll freak them out. But pay attention to moments that where God might actually like open a door. You're pulling out of your driveway. They're walking to the mailbox. And all you do is lower your window and say, hey, you doing okay? Do you need anything? Is there anything I can get for you? I'm going to the store. Gang, that is a great first contact with our neighbors. For those of you who are healthy and not in a risk category, would you please gather together with other people who are healthy and not in a risk category? And would you like just acknowledge each other's existence and listen and laugh and cry and pray and worship and just be together? Here's one for everybody. When you walk around this week and you see people in your community who are as shell-shocked as they might have been since 9/11, some of you aren't even old enough to know what that means. Will you do two things that are as contagious? They're highly contagious. They're as contagious as anything. And as best I can tell, they're still CDC approved. Make eye contact and smile. And then if you really want to go out on a limb and they actually make eye contact with you, how about just one more sentence? Not in a creepy, weird way, but just hope you have a good day. You're like, great, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. I think it has everything to do with everything because we are the people of God. We are the ones who get to tell folks that we're not going to live in fear. We're going to face this thing, but we're going to live with hope. Now, I have a friend, as soon as we made this announcement on Friday, who sent me an email and affirmed that even though this is difficult and some people might think we were overreacting, he too, based on some things, just said, this is the right thing to do. Okay. And then he gave me this. He said, the heading of the email was this: the last time my church closed was closed by a viral disease. Now, he was speaking metaphorically, but he was talking about when he and his wife lived in Saudi Arabia and he was working there and they were a part of a house church movement. And without warning or notice, the Saudi secret police came in and arrested the leaders of the church and took them to jail and interrogated them. And eventually they were deported and they lost their jobs. And this is a really tough moment. And the leadership of the church, this whole movement had to decide, what are they gonna do? Now, let me just stop for a second. We as a church are not being persecuted. We're not. We're not. We're doing what we think is wise and what we think is right. These are people who are having to make a decision, and they decided to go deeper underground and randomize their meetings. And it was an extraordinary story. And he said, you know, there were moments of suffering, and I'm sure there were moments of fear and aggravation and inconvenience and all of those things. But then he says, people encountered our great God in completely unexpected ways. Some, and he was talking about he and his wife, encountered an almost mysterious new understanding of what Jesus' church actually is. He goes on to say that our personal devotion to community hardened in those days, and they've never let go of it since. He ended the email with this sentence: I say, expect something at the crossing. So from somebody who's been through something like this, he says, God's gonna do it. He's gonna do it again. This is what he does. Listen, I tell you this all the time, and I wanna make sure that you understand. When I call you the children of the dawn, you understand that that means that you are someone who believes in the resurrection. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You believe that morning has already happened. Even though the sky still has darkness to it, we already know who wins. I'm saying in this world right now, we should live that way. So love outrageously well. Pay attention to the people around you and serve them. Of course, take care of yourself and be smart, but I say we are the people who get to react to this completely differently. This feels weird for me to do this in an empty room. There's a part of me, in the back of my mind, that feels crazy. Greg, why would you do this? I'm doing this because I believe that Jesus is still up to something in our church, in our community, in our country, in our world, and I think he's calling us into it. You might even think it's crazy when I ask you in just a second to worship again. Some of you are like, I don't know how this works. I want to give you another shot at the worship song that we just did a minute ago. But now that we've done this, now that we've spent time in His Word, I want to give you one more chance. I'm going to invite you to worship defiantly, hopefully. And you go, I don't know that I can sing with people in the room. That's okay. Assume a posture of worship. You might open your hands. You might get down on your knees. You might raise your hands. You might just stand and say, God, I believe that you will do this. Listen to me. For 2,000 years, the church has faced things and God wins and the church triumphs, not because of its power, not because of its cleverness, not because of its technology, but because we trust the one who is in charge. So I'm asking you now to worship with us. Join us next week. We are open for business. I love you. I love what we get to do together. But now, let's worship the High King of Heaven.